any deathbed scenes? Said Vitola, hopefully.
No, said Howell.
But I can do you a humorous monologue in Act Three.
A humorous monologue?
All right. There's room for a soliloquy in the last act, said Howell hurriedly. I'll write one tonight, no problem.
And a stabbing, said Vitola, getting to his feet. A foul murder that always goes down well.
He strode away to organise the setting up of the stage. Howell sighed and picked up his quill. Somewhere behind the sacking walls was the town of Hangdog, which had somehow allowed itself to be built in a hollow, perched in the near sheer walls of the canyon. There was plenty of flat ground in the ramtops. The problem was that nearly all of it was vertical. Howell didn't like the ramtops, which was odd, because it was traditional dwarf country and he was a dwarf. But he'd been banished from his tribe years ago, not only because of his claustrophobia, but also because he had a tendency to daydream. It was felt by the local dwarf king that this is not a valuable talent for someone who is supposed to swing a pickaxe without forgetting what he is supposed to hit with it. And so Howell had been given a very small bag of gold, the tribe's heartfelt best wishes, and a firm goodbye. It had happened that Vitola's strolling players had been passing through at the time, and the dwarf had ventured one small copper coin on a performance of The Dragon of the Plains. He had watched it without a muscle moving in his face, gone back to his lodgings, and in the morning had knocked on Vitola's lattie with the first draft of King Under the Mountain. It wasn't in fact very good, but Vitola had been perceptive enough to see that inside the hairy bullet head was an imagination big enough to bestride the world, and so, when the strolling players strolled off, one of them was running to keep up. Particles of raw inspiration sleep through the universe all the time. Every once in a while, one of them hits a receptive mind, which then invents DNA, or the flute sonata form, or a way of making light bulbs wear out in half the time. But most of them miss. Most people go through their lives without being hit by even one. Some people are even more unfortunate. They get them all. Such a one was Howell. Enough inspirations to equip a complete history of the performing arts poured continuously into a small, heavy skull designed by evolution to do nothing more spectacular than be remarkably resistant to axe blows. He licked his quill and looked bashfully around the camp. No one was watching. He carefully lifted up the wizard and revealed another stack of paper. It wasn't another potboiler. Every page was stained with sweat, and the words themselves scrawled across the manuscript on a trellis of blots and crossings out, and tiny scribbled insertions. Howell stared at it for a moment, alone in a world that consisted of him, the next blank page, and the shouting, clamorous voices that haunted his dreams. He began to write. Free of Howell's never-too-stringent attention, Tom John pushed open the lid of the props hamper, and in the methodical way of the very young, began to unpack the crowns. The dwarf stuck out his tongue as he piloted the errant quill across the ink-speckled page. He'd found room for the star-crossed lovers, the comic gravediggers, and the hunchback king. It was the cats and the roller skates that were currently giving him trouble. A gurgle made him look up.
"For goodness sake, lad," he said. "It hardly fits. Put it back."
End of CD 2.